Come now to our Bible reading, and I'm going to read from Psalm 19, starting at verse 7 and reading through to the end. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you've lived in Cottenham for a long time, you might just remember a musical in the parish church. It was the Roger Jones musical, Greater Than Gold. It was put on by the Cambridge Bible Society group. And it's the story of Mary Jones, which I guess most of you are probably familiar with. The little Welsh girl who worked and saved for 8 years and then walked 25 miles barefoot because she was so poor and she didn't want to wear her only pair of shoes out. She walked barefoot over the Welsh mountains to buy a Bible. That was in 1800, a long time ago now. But it was that simple act that came to lead to the founding of the Bible Society. And Roger Jones took that title partly from Psalm 19 that we've read and also from Psalm 119, which says a similar thing. The law from your mouth, God's word, is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And that story of little Mary Jones really sort of puts flesh on the bones of verses like that, doesn't it? She was nearly 10 before she had the chance to even go to school. And the one thing she wanted to do at school was to learn to read. And really the only reason she wanted to learn to read was so that she could read a Bible. She hadn't got a Bible. She used to walk to the nearby farm where the farmer's wife had the only Bible in the whole area. And that lady gave Mary 2 hens and a cock, and Mary kept them and sold the eggs and saved pennies for 8 years until she got enough money to buy a Bible and then set out on that amazing walk. It's very hard to imagine these days, isn't it? Life for us is so comparatively easy. We have so much available. If you want a Bible, you can go down to the shop. And it isn't beyond any of us to afford it. But doesn't that story challenge us? Would you or I have gone to such lengths to get a Bible? Is God's word really that precious to me that I would have put so much into getting a copy? Psalm 119 is a bit like a sort of an elaboration of the one that we've just read. It's a great outpouring of praise to God about his word. Somebody's likened it to a peal of bells being rung on 8 bells because of the different terms that the psalmist uses for describing God's word. And it's there too. Not only is it more precious than gold and silver, but sweeter than honey. That was in a world where sugar, where chocolate were unknown. The only sweetness was honey. And isn't it interesting, when God led his people out of exile in Egypt, he promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, not just the basics, but that idea of health and richness. And the psalmist is saying, your word, Lord, is even sweeter to me than the sweetest thing we know. Is that how we think about our Bibles? You know, what about when they're hard going and they're difficult to understand and there are whole chunks that seem so boring? And when we do understand it, we're often frightened of the demands that it may make on us. And sometimes we need to go back to this picture language of what the word of God is and remember that these are words of love. These are messages from a God who loves us beyond our wildest imagining. And yes, it may be tough love, but it's love nonetheless. And it's love that wants us to have life in all its fullness. So not only is God's word to us more precious and sweeter than gold and silver and honey, but it's other things as well, because God wants to guide us into that fullness of life that he wants for us, to show us where to go. So Psalm 119 says, your word is like a lamp to my feet, a light for my path, to show me where to go. Not the whole map. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely to know where you're going to be in 10 years' time? Or maybe it wouldn't. But sometimes it's just one step at a time. There's that famous quote that George VI used in one of his Christmas broadcasts. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. And that shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way. God's word is a light for us. But it's much more as well, isn't it? It doesn't just show us where to go. It shows us who we are. And James, in his letter, has a rather roundabout way of saying that. He says, anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and then goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, yes, there are those of us who would perhaps prefer to do that. But actually what it's saying is God's word shows us what we like. Not just on the outside, the bit that we dress up and make look good, but what we're really like on the inside, what's going on in our hearts and our minds. How God sees us, that's what he sees. And sadly, he also sees how far short we fall of what he wants us to be, what he made us to be. But also, when we look into God's word, it's a different sort of mirror because we see beyond that to what we can be. If we're truly sorry for all that falling short, and that's what sin is, it's falling short of God's best, what God wants for us. If we truly believe that on the cross when Jesus died and let his body be broken and his blood poured out for us, and accept his forgiveness, then God sees us in Jesus. Not all the awful things and the sin, but sees us covered over with what Jesus is. I saw this beautifully illustrated once with two mirrors. And the first one had been broken. It was all broken into pieces and stuck together, so that if you looked at yourself, nothing quite fitted. You were all out of sync and bits all over the place. But then the second mirror was whole, but stuck on front of it was a transparent cross. And it's a lovely illustration of how we are without Jesus and how God sees us as whole and perfect through the death of Jesus on the cross. God sees us then, made perfect in Jesus, and adopts us into his family as his sons and daughters. No wonder the psalmist in Psalm 19 talks of God's word bringing joy and radiance. But then if you change the picture again, we come to Jesus saying, the word's like a seed. It doesn't just show you who you are and what God can do for you, but it's inside you and it grows and starts changing you into what God wants you to be. You know, God's word isn't just words on paper. It's alive. It's active. It does things. You think how seeds can grow in the most inhospitable places. There's power there. Hebrews takes it even further and says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That knife that I brought was the nearest thing I've got to a two-edged sword. The living Bible says it cuts swift and deep into every aspect of our innermost thoughts and desires, exposing us for what we really are. In the Message, Eugene Peterson translates it as being like a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through our doubts and our defences and laying us open, open to God, to listen and to obey. That's a bit drastic and it's scary. But if you think of it as a surgeon's scalpel, it's also about healing and health-giving. And if we put all those pictures together of God's word being a guide, leading us, speaking words of love, showing us what we like, but then offering us through forgiveness a new start to be what God wants us to be adopted into his family, as we've been singing, changing us from the inside out to become more like Jesus. It's something that's so priceless, so precious, and sweeter than anything else in the world. This is treasure not to be hidden away and stored in a bank vault, but to be taken out and used and enjoyed and fed upon. It's treasure that no one can steal. It's not going to rot. It's not going to run out and get used up. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, do you remember? He turned to Satan and he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word from the mouth of God. Bread is one of the staples of life. Certainly in Jesus' day in the Middle East, if you had bread on your table, you could survive, you could live. We forget about these staple things in the diet. We have such rich and varied diets. But there are certain things that are basics. And Jesus is saying, the word of God is like that. It's a basic to life. It's part of the staple diet that you need, and you need it every day. Not just occasionally, not just on Sundays. Just as our bodies need food daily for health and strength and growth, so our souls, our faith, the word for us from God, we need that daily for health and strength and growth. And yes, like bread, there are times when it's dry and it's hard going and it's uninteresting and it's difficult to digest. But you also never know where it's going to lead you, what that seed growing within you is going to produce. And if you've been thinking about those things on the table as we've gone through this, you're beginning to think, now hang about, what about that hammer that little boy waved with such gusto? And maybe you've been thinking, well, yes, I put all together all those other pictures, but where did the hammer come in? Well, it comes from Jeremiah, not a book that we usually turn to for much comfort or help. But in it is this verse. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. There's another picture. And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. My word, says the Lord, is like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Now the fire we can deal with, and in a way it's a bit like we've been saying, it's purifying and it's refining. But hammers, you know, one thinks of people bashing around the head with a Bible. But the more I thought about it, the picture that kept coming back to me was from my childhood. Until I was 13, I went to a boarding school. And at boarding school, you have a lot of extra time on your hands, and we weren't entertained. We made our own entertainment. And it was in an old house in the country. And the driveway up to this house was pebbles. And whatever gave us the idea, I don't know, but we used to sit on the drive and pick out the little pebbles and bash them with a bigger pebble until they split open. Have you ever done that? It sounds crazy. But inside, they're rough. On the outside, they're rough and they're dull and they're colourless. But in the middle, you get the pure rock. And it sparkles and it's colourful. And we used to spend hours breaking them all open to find these colours and the crystals and the shapes. Just think about going to any museum, and they often have displays of crystals in rocks, don't they? And it's the same thing. Somebody's got a great big dull chunk of rock and split it open, and it's revealed all those lovely things inside. And okay, our pebbles weren't precious stones, and they weren't going to be put in a museum. They were common or garden, very ordinary stones. But inside, there was that inner loveliness. And could it be that alongside all those other qualities and actions of the Word of God that we thought about, it is like a hammer that somehow breaks us open to reveal that colour and that beauty and that sparkle that is God-given and what God wants to take and to use to give us fullness of life and to live for His glory. How can we neglect so great a treasure as God's word? Amen.